Well, Sharon Bigger, thank you so much for joining us. Can you give a brief overview of Path Intelligence and then talk about your role there?
Certainly. So we think of Path Intelligence as being the Google Analytics for the real world. We build sensor networks in the physical world that detect, analyze, and predict human behavior by identifying the path taken by cell phones. So our mission really is that we believe that measurement techniques that have become commonplace online can and should become available offline. And this is particularly relevant to the retail industry, where online retailers have had a lot of information about how shoppers behave, what products they're looking at, what products they're purchasing, what products they're looking at and not buying. And none of that information is available to offline retailers. So that's what we're trying to change, and we're trying to provide offline retailers in the offline world with better information about how humans behave.
Great. And how does technology actually work to be able to do that sensing of vast amounts of people that are moving through a retail space?
Sure, it's a great question. So what we do is we install what are effectively mini base stations that sit between the cell phones and the mobile network operators, and we passively observe any mobile transmissions that are happening in that area. We then accurately locate that phone, so we're able to identify a path for each individual phone that's walking through a particular area that our sensors are covering.
And, you know, for a long time we've had retail analysts, human-based, you know, kind of analysis of retail spaces. How would you say this is different? Is it a completely different animal that you're able to release with using mobile sensing?
That's a great question. And, you know, you're right to think of and compare this to what's already been going in the market research world. And, in fact, one of the things that people label us with as automated market research. And that's true. And in fact, we're actually more cost effective. We get a much larger sample than traditional market research. But I think what's most interesting is that by using machines to do the market research data collection, you take away some of the biases that happen when an individual is talking to a researcher. So it's a natural human tendency to want to please somebody who's asking you questions. So what we find in our work is that shoppers will typically overestimate how frequently they come to the mall, and conversely, they'll underestimate how long they've spent at the mall. No one wants to tell an interviewer that they've spent their entire Saturday at the mall, even if that's what they've done. Likewise, we find very few people admit to going to the lingerie store in a mall. The great thing about using machines is it takes away that interpersonal connection, and we can observe what's really going on. The other great advantage of using machines is that we're able to keep recording 365 days a year. And in a retail setting in particular, you get a lot of seasonal variation. What happens at Christmas is very different to what happens in the summer, and you're not able to grasp that with intermittent surveys.
Makes sense. How do you deal with security issues when you're really monitoring behavior in a space like this?
Privacy is a huge concern to us and something we take very, very seriously. We work very hard to ensure that we're doing everything we can to protect an individual's privacy. So the first thing we do is that in every country we operate in, we talk to the privacy commissioner of that country and we ensure that our procedures comply and exceed what is required under data protection laws. Now, on a personal level, what does that mean? That means that we never record any personal information. So at no time can an individual be identified from our data set. All of the data we receive is anonymous. So for us, it's like watching dots moving around a screen. What we're interested in is what the crowd is doing. We're not interested in what an individual is doing. So we aggregate all information and present the aggregated information back to our clients. You know, in a mall setting, it's the aggregated information that's interesting. So there's about 30,000 people that go to a mall every day. Now, what our clients want to know is what did 10 or 20,000 of those people do? They're not interested in what did one individual do. So we're never looking... go ahead.
Well, are there any kind of counterintuitive or surprise moments where you look at this data and you realize something that was not at all obvious through something like direct human observation?
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, our data is really revolutionizing the mall industry, and particularly the way they view their space. I'll just give you a couple of examples. So traditionally, the retailer next to a large anchor tenant such as Sears would be paying a very high rent, and that's because it was typically viewed that that retailer would be getting a lot of traffic as a result of flow-on out of Sears. What we've seen, actually, is people don't tend to stop in a store that's directly next to the anchor tenant. They'd prefer to walk out into the mall a little bit further and before they start browsing again. So that's just one example. You know, and another one is jewelry shops tend to pay a very high rent because they have such large shop windows. But actually what we see is that most shoppers ignore the jewelry store and tend to look across the mall to what's on the opposite side. So actually shops located directly opposite to jewelry stores do very, very well.
Mm. So even rental unit pricing and things like that can get affected in terms of the results that you guys show.
That's right. We're really disrupting the way that people think about pricing the space within a mall.
And can you do you see right now we're looking at this whole profusion of sensors out in the real world that are starting to manage other things like traffic flow and things like that. Do you see any application of this type of technology beyond retail analysis for you guys?
Absolutely. Retail really is just our first stepping stone. It's the first application where we've launched the product. But there are a vast number of other applications for a system that can locate mobile phones accurately, particularly one that can do it indoors. For us, the next step is to be able to not only detect behavior, but also to start influencing it. So that's all about how do we feed back to existing media that's going on within retail in response to the type of shopper that's in the store at that particular time. But even with our current equipment, there's a full range of other applications that's possible. We've had people come to us and ask us whether, for example, we could locate phones that have been stationary for a long time and that therefore could potentially be used as detonators for roadside bombs, things like that. We've had people interested in whether installing our system, we can help to identify how many refugees there are in a refugee camp so that they can make sure the correct amount of aid is being delivered to that camp. Mm-hmm. And we can do things like, you know, identify the number of people at very large outdoor events so that the emergency services can meet the health and safety requirements of those sorts of events.
That's fantastic. Well, Sharon Bigger, thank you so much for taking the time with us today, and I look forward to seeing you at Summit.